Paratooth Radio is a proud member of Evergreen Podcasts on killerpodcasts.com.
Christian and non-Christian paranormal investigators. They have two different views, and it seems as if neither of them can ever agree on anything. So what happens when a mainstream view of the paranormal crosses paths with the Christian view? Something.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to a brand new episode of Paratruth Radio. My name is Justin.
And I'm Eric.
And tonight is, well, the recording of this is not October, but the release is the beginning of October, October 2nd. So this is our spooky season kickoff episode. And it seems like this year has flown by, man.
That's because it has. It's been nonstop, dude.
But we are into our favorite season of the year outside of December and Christmas, of course. And so we'll be getting into some good stuff. We're hoping to get on one of our clients for one of the episodes for October from either the Cookie House or the Soap House. I am working on trying to get a cryptozoologist on with us for one of the episodes. And then already right after that, it is our Halloween Spookapalooza. So with that being said, you've had a pretty busy week. How you feeling? Tired? You good to go?
I mean, I'm feeling a little tired. I did two night shoots over the past couple of days, so those are 12 hours each, and then yesterday I did the day prior to this recording I did about another 12 hours but during the day. So having the quick flip from two night shoots to a day shoot has just been wreaking havoc. But aside from being like just physically tired, like, or mentally, I'm just tired, but otherwise I feel good healthy wise I was sick a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of finally after 2 weeks kind of started to feel back to normal. So got my first workout in within 2 weeks. I've been off that long, and it was nice getting back, feeling better. So
thank goodness it wasn't COVID.
Yeah. It would have been a much longer break, and I would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
What's your been week like? What's your life?
it's been a crazy couple of days as of this recording. But last week was not bad, and this weekend, just as of this recording, I'll be in Fargo for ValleyCon. So super excited about that. If you're in the Fargo Moorhead area, would love to hear from you if you're a listener, or if you love any of my books or anything like that, we would love to have you at the booth and talking to us. But we are here, October. Something that I've been thinking about, getting up to this episode is throughout the years we've done so much stuff for Halloween, and I'm sure we've talked about this in multiple Octobers, but I've been trying to think about some of the stuff we've talked about and try and think if there's anything that is my favorite from this time of year as far as topics are concerned. But I wanted to ask you, are there any episodes we've done or anything, any topics we've covered either at all this year or in the Halloween season that you think about when we get to this time of year?
I mean, I have to always jump back to our very first Halloween episode, which pretty much just talked about Samhain and the history of Samhain, how it was basically more or less developed and how it transferred from one religion to another and how different peoples of different communities and countries celebrate it. So that's by far my favorite, I think, because that's just kind of like the beginning of Halloween. Mm. And I think those early festivals, the early festivities, just kind of they feel more like Halloween, more like the celebration of the fall season, you know?
For sure. I think one of my favorite episodes was the Stingy Jack episode, and that kind of led into like Jack the Ripper and all that stuff, Springheel Jack, but also the legend of the Jack-o'-lantern,
yeah,
and how that came about. And it still baffles me to this day that originally the Jack-o'-lantern was carved out of a turnip instead of a pumpkin. And how that transition happened, other than it coming to America and pumpkins were more prevalent here than turnips, I guess.
Well, yeah, they were more prevalent, but they were also pumpkins are American. They don't exist anywhere else throughout the world naturally. So it might have just simply been, oh, look at this bigger thing that right. kind of looks like an orange radish or something, you know?
Like an orange radish.
A giant orange radish.
So yeah, what are some of the stuff that you're looking forward for Halloween this year?
Well, I mean, in terms of festivities, I'm really, really looking forward to going to some mazes, corn mazes. I haven't been to one in a couple of years, I think 3 years now. So that's something I really wanted to do this year. Also, considering going to a haunted house, which I have not been to in like 10 or 12 years. I think it was like 10. No, 8. It's been 8 years. I went when I was in college. So, you know, those are the two easy ones, but probably the most that I'm, of course, excited about, that I'm sure you're aware of, is going to Salem, Massachusetts mm-hmm. this year. 2 weeks, not even, about a week and a half prior to Halloween. So I'm really excited about that. You know, I've been wanting to go for many years, and this year I decided, what the hell, let's do it.
You know, we'll probably have to make a bonus episode to talk about your discoveries there. You know, I have asked you this, and you've mentioned that a lot of people say that this time of year, it's kind of, you go, there's really not a whole lot to do there other than just some random spooky stuff that mm-hmm. they celebrate and whatever. But it'll be interesting to see if you get to talk to anybody about any spooky stuff that goes on in their shops, if you're able to get to shops, or do they have a parade or anything?
They do, but as far as I know, there's only a couple during the season, and one I think is like the early October, and the other one is on Halloween. So I don't know if I'll be able to see one. Pretty much the big festivities happen on Halloween Day, but I was told that going to Salem on Halloween Day is very similar to going to New York City on New Year's Eve. So that's going to be avoided. I don't want to deal with that many people. I want to enjoy my experience, you know, and not that I can't enjoy it with the party happening, but I'm more interested in the history, not the, you know, 18-year-old party dumpster kids.
Right. So, folks, if you want to scare Eric away, just invite him to a huge party and he will never talk to you again.
100%.
Yeah, I haven't been to a haunted house since 2014. Since Shelley and I first started dating, we went to the Fort Abraham Lincoln, haunted Abraham Lincoln haunted house, and that is kind of cool in and of itself, because you get to not only see Fort Abraham Lincoln, and these people usually are dressed up in era garb just to talk, you know, play their character. But in the Haunted Fort, they're dressed up in that garb, but they're also like dead or serial killers or whatever. So it was kind of fun. So it'd be interesting to do that again. Yeah, it's been quite a while for me too since I've gone to a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be handing out candy this year?
I don't know yet. It's kind of up in the air because our cousin asked me to go to Browns game with him if his wife doesn't go. And so we'll see. I'm not a big fan of football, but I said, yeah, I thought it might be kind of fun. But if not, then I will be going, of course, to my sister's house, most likely. I think they're dressing up her. I forgot she had two daughters because she told me her daughter and her husband are dressing up as the three little pigs. And the dog is dressing up as the house or a house. I don't know what her youngest daughter is supposed to be. She didn't say.
Well, they need a wolf.
That's where I come in. So I would be the wolf.
Okay.
But that's why I'm thinking about it now. Like, yeah, they're the three little pigs. I'm the wolf. The dog is the house. And then I was like, wait a minute. There's another child. What is she going to be? That she's just a tag along.
They'll have to dress her up as Brick, Hay, and then whatever the other.
She could be. Or do two stories in one, and we can dress her up as Little Red Riding Hood.
That'd be kind of cool too. Kind of like the comic book series Fable.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Which isn't there a show for that now?
There's a video game.
A video game, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a show or not. I mean, there's Once Upon a Time that's kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
Shelly has never been big about giving out candy, and I don't blame her, especially with kids and getting sick and all that stuff. But
that's what the masks are for.
Well, now that we've learned masks can help. I think it's going to be a fun year. Unfortunately, we were not able to get to Scarefest this year, which was kind of on our agenda, but I think we've both decided if we're going to go, we need to have a booth and not just go for festivities.
Right.
But yeah, what else is on your mind for this time of year?
Well, I have decided to dedicate the month to scary stories or books. So I am now in full horror mode when it comes to my stories. And actually, it's probably going to just stay that way all the way through winter because, I don't know, there's something about winter that's just dark and gloomy. And so reading scary stories during that time is kind of fun.
I was going to say reading or writing?
Reading. I am writing too, but mainly reading. At least that's what I know I can easily do at any time during the day.
Yeah, I should start reading some of those stories from the book that I got at Scarefest.
It's been a year. Cool.
Yeah. I've read one or two. I just haven't read them all yet. I'm looking forward to both reading some scary stories and writing some. And on our agenda for October is to start a small limited series or mini series, whatever you want to call it, of spooky stories that we've done. And I haven't even talked to you about this. We could even read classic.
Yeah.
Spooky stories too.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm looking forward to that too, because I do have a couple that aren't necessarily spooky, but creepy or messed up, and I've always loved doing the scary stories.
Mm-hmm. There's just something I feel that's like engaging about them. Because they kind of, I mean, if they're good, they bring you into the fear, and you kind of, for me, kind of become those characters, whether they're the good ones or the bad ones or whatever. And there's a certain type of simplicity to it as well. You know, like I feel like fairy tales, and like fantasy, they tend to, they tend to get very deep, and they tend to have a lot of twists and turns. And I often get lost in those. And not that, you know, horror and scary stories don't, but I think there's still simplicity behind them because you know where it's leading to either way.
Like one of my favorite ones to do and read are like Twilight Zone type stories. And I think that's going to be quite a few of the stories that I do this year for this miniseries we're going to do. Trying to think of, yeah, there's at least two I can think of off the top of my head. So we've been talking about the investigations that we've done, and we're going to try and get one of the clients on, and you've done a lot of the audio listening for the Cookie House. Have you re-listened to any of that at all?
Not since the day that I sent it to you, but the day that I did send it, like I had listened to it like five multiple or six times prior to actually sending it. But yeah, you know, there's some interesting stuff on there, and it's nothing extremely clear by any means.
Right.
But there's just certain sounds, growl sounds or little, like, how do you know? Like just little weird noises that don't make sense, that shouldn't be where they are, that are very close to the mic, especially, that I just thought were very intriguing. But I think just that investigation alone was intriguing as a whole, because you and I got a lot of personal experiences, and we had witnessed things or seen things with our own eyes, or our own ears, or in your case, sensitivity to it, you know, a feeling that you'd gotten. So there was definitely a lot that I think happened on the premise in that one location, which was in the basement, because we didn't get a chance to go through the entire house. There happened to be a party happening at the same time again, even though I tried to avoid that. But I think, I thought it was a great investigation overall. I think there's some interesting things that everyone's going to want to hear.
Yeah. And for both places that we did, I mean, both clients are without a shadow of a doubt convinced that the houses are haunted. So I think regardless of what we bring to them, they're going to say, you know, we appreciate it, but we do believe it's haunted. But out of the two, we absolutely did have some more experiences and a little more evidence at the Cookie House than we did at the Soap House. Now, I'm not done with all of the audio yet, but so far, the only thing that I've really heard is when we were doing the Ghost Box investigation, Spirit Box investigation, and you and I have talked about numerous times in the past, we can't really necessarily say it's evidence per se, but if we're getting intelligent responses, it's at least interesting.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I think that's the hard part. And I guess that's, you know, that's one reason why you always want to document the stuff that you're doing. Even if it's a personal experience, you should have them on camera, or whoever it is. If it's you or somebody else, be on camera. Let us see your face, your body, you know, things like that. So we can just see how the changes are happening. Because just because you're feeling it doesn't mean that you're not showing it as well. Like, we might see the hair stand up or the scratches that might show up at some point if it's a negative haunting or something, or just certain reactions, eyes glazing, all these different things that can help determine both, mainly in a physical sense, to the accuracy or the truth of your mental sense, I guess. So it's just always important to have that stuff on. And in our case, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but the thermometer that we had kept raising in a certain area. It kept getting higher, the temperature, where it shouldn't have been getting higher. And, you know, we didn't get much of that on tape overall, and we should have gotten more, but it was nonetheless intriguing. And from a personal experience, I mean, to us, it's something, because it didn't make sense. We tried to debunk it.
Right. And we tested out a new piece of equipment on both of these investigations too, and some cool stuff happen. So, that was super cool too, because you never know, like, when you get a piece of equipment, is it even worth the money to do right. it or whatever?
Especially at the prices that they're selling at these days.
Right. I mean, to be fair, they were just as expensive when we first started. You would think they would start going down in price, but they have not really.
No, not at all.
So just for you guys out there that want to do paranormal investigations, we've talked about this in the past. Start out simple. Even with, you know, no equipment at all, use your eyes, ears, all your senses. Have a notebook and a pen handy. Write stuff down. If you want to do equipment, I don't usually recommend it, but you have a camera in your hand at all times. Use your phone camera. It's just as good, sometimes better than some digital cameras, depending on what you get. Especially like Eric has mentioned numerous times, that the iPhone camera is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a 4K camera. In the iPhone 12s and above, it's a 4K camera. And not that you need that much for investigating, but if you're looking to take photos, you're going to get super just great clarity, and you're going to be able to zoom in on things without pixelation. So if you're trying to capture the most detail possible, 4K is a really great option. You could go lower. I wouldn't go any lower than 1080, of course, 1080p. That's kind of like the standard. But either way, like if you take a picture between the two, you'll typically see a difference in the overall pixelation of the two, or the clarity. So definitely consider that. And the video camera does the same as well. And actually, for iPhones, I don't know what Android is like these days, but iPhone has pretty good low light capability. So it's going to bump ISO, which might make a video a little bit grainy, but it'll still do the job. It'll get you some stuff, add a little bit of light if you need to, a flashlight. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no reason for people to have to investigate in the dark. Ghosts don't pick up activity after sunfall. So, you know, they're not vampires or zombies or whatever come up at night. So you can literally just investigate in the sunlight and you'd be fine.
Right. Right.
You might capture more evidence, actually being able to actually see clearly in daylight.
Right. And I mean, I haven't had a chance to mention this to you, but over the past couple weeks now, I've been seeing stuff more out of the corner of my eye than I ever have in the past. Movement, figures, stuff like that. And then when I look, there's nobody there. So Eric had mentioned, you know, doing it during the daylight. Our eyes can see into ultraviolet. Or is it infrared?
Infrared.
It's very on the very, very edge of your sight, so you're not going to see it looking straight forward. You're always going to be catching stuff out of the side of your eyes. But hone into that. You know, like I said, you don't need tons of equipment to do this.
No, you don't. And in terms of like honing in on that infrared aspect, you could do something like I do. And it may sound weird at first, but it's not. You literally have to practice, you know, the learning your infrared and being able to see it. Mm. So, you know, I started by just sitting in the dark at night and just allowing myself to kind of focus through the corner of my eyes only, which basically means you more or less allow your normal vision looking forward to blur, and you focus on that exterior vision, if you will, the outer corners of your eyes, and just try to see what you can see. Because I guarantee you'll, if you allow yourself to really focus, you'll see more using the corner of your eyes in the pitch black than you would if you were just looking straight in front of you. The other thing is, once you actually accomplish that and you start seeing stuff, slowly take the time to try to navigate through your dark home using only the infrared at the corner of your eyes. Now, when I do it, I can walk through doorways easily. I can find faucets and light switches. I can make my way through the house, which is pretty incredible considering most people, if they were in a pitch black house, even their own home, would probably not be able to do that without having to feel around for whatever it is they're looking for.
Right. Right. I don't know if you've ever told me that before, that you've trained yourself.
Ta-da! Happy Halloween, Justin.
That's the best trick-or-treat I've ever got. So, yeah, I mean, there is all of that out there without having to pay the tons of money to get equipment. Now, Eric and I have not spent thousands of dollars, maybe hundreds of dollars, but over the years, and the only thing that I had back when I started compared to today was I did have a K2 meter, I did have a voice recorder, and I had ended up just selling all that just because I didn't think I'd be doing anymore. Lo and behold, I came back to it, and luckily those things have not really gotten more expensive compared to like an infrared camera or a thermal camera. So I would definitely stick with just the basics. Even if you get a super cheap EMF meter, they're not always the greatest, but if you know what you're looking for and you'll see the jumps compared to if you're getting a K2 or a millimeter, you'll get used to it, and it's not so bad.
Well, on top of that, too, I mean, there really are like some significantly good phone apps that you can download as well that can help out in your investigations that are free. I have one on my phone that I haven't used, but I still haven't. I've considered using it now that it's October. And I remember the first time that I used it was at my parents' house, and it was answering questions. Like, I was getting answers that were intelligent responses, which, again, it could just be a coincidence, I suppose. But considering I was on this app for over 30 minutes and constantly getting different responses, not all the time, but, you know, I was getting responses pretty intermittently but regularly that were intelligent, it seems that it may work. So check out those apps. If it's really good, you enjoy it. At most, they cost $5, usually.
Right. Well, the one that I have that is kind of like the Ovilus, I think is relatively good, seeing as an Ovilus is $200 to $300, sometimes $400, depending on the model that you're getting. So, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, in the past, we've really been speculative about, you know, especially having a cell phone on you during an investigation.
Right.
With that being said, you can silence your phone. Always make sure if you're catching stuff, you're double checking it's not coming from the phone first, like EMF, which on the investigation that we did kind of find out that Eric's phone or my phone were setting off the EMF if we got close to it and it was going off or turning on or something.
Right.
But the responses we were getting were not coming from from our phones being close at all because we weren't that close to the EMF meter. So, all right, folks, we're about at the halfway mark, so we'll take a quick break. You'll hear a quick commercial, and we will be right back with Paratruth Radio.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Paratruth Radio. As always, my name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
And we are on a, or in a rabbit hole, technically. So today is our first Halloween episode, and it is a rabbit hole episode. So yes, we are all over the place. But we personally enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I was watching a video prior to today's episode on YouTube, and it was through PBS, and it was called, I think it's called Montrous or Monstrous, something like that.
Okay.
And it seems like, this is the first time I've seen it was today, but it seems like it mainly talks about historical tales of monsters and things like that. And so in this case, I happened to have a werewolf one that popped up. I haven't looked up anything about a werewolf in over 2 years on my YouTube. So the fact that it showed up, I was interested because it was a full history. It was a two-part episode. I only saw the first one so far. But one thing that she had mentioned at the beginning of the episode was that the werewolf legend, and you and I already kind of knew this, but I think we've been searching for so long, we may never really find an answer because, you know, the main question is, what is the origin of the werewolf?
Mm-hmm, right.
Where does it begin? And according to her study, the woman on this video, there really is no accurate invention of the werewolf. There's no beginning because the werewolf was so widespread from the beginning of the time in which we have documentation. Werewolves existed everywhere in every on every continent, every country, there was a version of the werewolf and what the werewolf meant, which is really intriguing to me because then I was thinking, if that's the case, why? Now, I know biblically speaking, there was a people group in the center of the map, basically, mm-hmm. what we consider like North Africa, Northwest Africa. I'm sorry, Northeast Africa. Jeez. And then the Tower of Babel happened, and the Tower of Babel basically just changed everybody's languages and separated them throughout the continents. Mm-hmm. So that they were all over wherever separated. So the possibility, if there was any significance to that, which I'm not claiming there is or isn't, but if that were the case, then the werewolf legend would have had a start in that single people group from the beginning of time. And then once it dispersed, the people dispersed, those legends went with them, and they slowly changed over the course of centuries. Now, that is, of course, one option. The second option is there were people all over the country anyway, and the origin exists separately in each one. And that means that there was probably some sort of legitimacy or fear of what it is modern day werewolf,
mm-hmm.
which means could they exist or have existed? You know, we've talked about werewolves on the show here. We've talked about dog men, which are becoming much more prominent these days. Mm-hmm. Is there possibly another race of humanoid creatures known as the werewolf or the dog man in particular, that have existed for as long as we have and all these tales exist just because that's, you know, the origin of their personal stories.
Right. Well, just listening to you talk about it, there could possibly be an in-between species, like you're saying. I'm pretty sure we both know that in science, there's no logical explanation for a human to shift form in any way, shape, or form and be able not only not to do it, but wouldn't be able to survive it because the pain would be so tremendous that I don't feel people would be able to survive it, or they would literally pass out from the pain. My personal opinion, right, of course.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, breaking and extending of bones, right, that alone.
It is interesting that you've come across something new, though, because I was going to ask if you've seen anything recently that we could discuss or anything. But with that being said, too, like you're talking about the werewolf and how it spans many, many cultures. Same thing with the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one creature that you and I have been speculative about for years is Bigfoot. And there isn't as many legends throughout cultures about Bigfoot. There are some, all of them being somewhat similar, but not, as far as I've seen anyway, not as spanned out as the dragon and werewolf or vampire.
Right. No, I mean, you basically got the Bigfoot, you got the Yeti. Those are your two primary, and they are more or less the same creature, except that one lives in the Himalayas and the other, well, in the backwoods of America and everywhere else. But then you've also got creatures like the Grassman, who is also considered a Bigfoot-like creature. And of course, there are several other Bigfoot-like creatures out there as well. So then the question isn't just, is there one Bigfoot creature and that's it? Or is this a certain race of humanoid creatures like the human race? You know, we're all one race, but we have different ethnicities. Could these creatures be of the same thing? I mean, you think of wolves and how many different types of wolves there are, or any animal for that matter, cats, you know, from the biggest to the smallest. They're all the same family. So what are these? Are these just, you know, or are they like predator? You know, like the smaller the predator are usually the lowest on the chain, and the bigger, stronger, more scary looking predator are at the top. Maybe it's something like that, where these Yetis are, for example, because there's less of them, maybe they're on a hierarchy. They're higher up than what the Bigfoot are, if they're actually an alien race, like some people claim to be. They are.
It's interesting that you bring up, are they like the predator? Because there are people that believe that the Bigfoot is not so much a physical creature, but an interdimensional creature that can hop back and forth. So in a sense, can disappear or be camouflaged. You and I have heard the theory that they can use ultrasonic sound to stop people from being able to take pictures or even scare people so badly, you know, that they freeze right where they're at. Some people have been known to pass out from being in contact with a Bigfoot or hearing it, from fear or possibly even the ultrasonic roar, who knows? But I your original, when you started talking about it, I thought for sure you were going to bring up the alien thing right away. That's why you're saying it's like a predator.
Oh.
Since you brought up the werewolf thing, and I had mentioned dragons, I've been seeing a lot of videos of people claiming to have caught live dragons, especially in China.
And you've have seen you seen these dragons? I have not seen the videos, but are the dragons in these videos?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And very, I mean, not blurry compared to other videos that I've seen in the past. I may have sent you one of them, the volcano, or what people are saying it's a volcano. Have you seen that one?
I don't know. Was this on TikTok?
Well, there was both YouTube and TikTok. Both places covered it. There's a video of what looks like a dragon breathing fire, and you can clearly see a silhouette of what looks like a creature with bat-like wings, and the fire is flowing from the dragon, not the other way around where a volcano would erupt. So it's really, really interesting. I'll have to send you the video. And then there was one only specifically on TikTok that I saw where someone captured a dragon flying. I don't know if they were in a big building or what.
Hold on. I'm sorry. It took me this long of you talking for me to finally click what you were saying. Because when you said they captured the dragons, I'm thinking they physically captured the dragons. And I'm like, there's actual video evidence of this? And then you're telling me of how realistic it is. I'm like, no way. It can't be that real. And then you just mentioned cameras. And I was like, oh, capture, as in photography or videography. That makes more sense.
I have seen those videos too, where people claim to not necessarily have captured, but they're very in close proximity and they're saying it's a dragon. But to me, it looks just like a statue or a stuffed creature. But these are actually videos of these things moving and flying in the air. Now, like I said, that's coming from China, and a lot of people think of the Chinese dragon, basically, is the term I would call it, a long, lanky lizard with no wings that still flies through the air. The Chinese believe that they're gods. But these dragons are more like the medieval dragons with bat-like wings and flying with wings. Right. The one that I was talking about from TikTok, it would be very hard for it to be a misidentification, because I don't know of anything else that looks like a dragon has a huge wingspan like this creature had. Could it have been doctored? Yeah, of course, it could have been doctored. But from the shots that they've caught, it's just baffling to me. So if you get a chance, Google live dragons caught in China or on video in China. Any other creatures that you've seen or anything recently?
Nothing that I've seen. I was watching Paranormal Caught on Camera the other day, the newest episodes. That show's kind of hit or miss. I think there's some things that are on there that are legitimate, and the others, are just very clearly not. And it's unfortunate that the hosts all have to play along and say, oh, this is real. This is, for whatever reason, like why there's nobody in there debunking things.
Right.
Really frustrates me, but I'm going to put my resume in soon and just say, hey, should change it up a little bit. Get a little controversy.
There you go.
Hire me. Give me millions of dollars a day, please.
Please. So you're going to beg for a job? Is that what you're saying?
Got to do what you got to do. Okay.
I guess.
watching that, there was one about Bigfoot that was interesting, because there's this little dog that went chasing after it. and it made it all the way to the edge of the woods and then immediately started like spun around and ran back and then hid behind a rock, barking from the rock, and refused to go near it. Now they showed the creature and they showed the dog go to attack it. You didn't see the actual moment in which they met, but I thought it was pretty intriguing. It was weird unless the dog was just very well commanded. But it was definitely different. You know, it just seemed, I don't know. It seemed legit. Otherwise it was pulled off really well because they had to have the synchronization of moving the camera from 180 degrees to accidentally see the person walking in the woods at the same moment at the right angle, you know, because they were actually filming towards a door. And then they during a birthday party, and then they pan the camera and it glanced out the window and it held for a moment. And you just see this thing walking in the background, and then they freak out and they go looking for it. And they captured it a couple times throughout that moment. So I thought that was really intriguing.
Well, I'm glad you said that show's hit or miss, because I've only tried watching the one episode and I could not, like, I was watching, I was focused, and I just could not get into the episode at all.
Right. Yeah. It's a tough one. It's not for everybody. It's fun. For me, it's more of a, if I'm eating dinner, I'm going to kick it on and watch it, because I'm not going to pay a whole lot of attention. Eat my dinner, do whatever in the background. It's like a multitasking show. But it's not something I get excited to see, because these videos come in from everywhere throughout the world. And some of them are very clearly faked and others are just goofy. Really.
Speaking of shows, then, are you going to be catching any Ghost Adventure or Ghost Hunter Halloween episodes this year?
I will be watching the Ghost Adventures one, which I think is the week of Halloween. It may be on Halloween night. I forget, though. But it is a special 2-hour episode that they're doing. And then there's a number of different movies coming out, and TV shows, obviously, this month. One that I'm considering watching just because is going to be Halloween, whatever it's called, the final Halloween movie, supposedly, just to see how it all ends once and for all with Michael Myers, you know. The other that I'm really looking forward to, though, is a movie that comes out this week, I think, and it's called, and I told you about the book, My Best Friend's Exorcism. Mm. There's a movie being released on, I think it's Prime Video this week that looks pretty good, all considering.
And you said you had listened to the audiobook with your sister, right?
Right. Yep. We listened to the full 10.5-hour audiobook in one sitting. So it was good.
One movie to check out, not necessarily Halloween at all, but Shelley and I just started watching the new Dahmer series on Netflix.
I started watching it. I'm 3 episodes in, I think.
That's where we are at, but we're going to have to rewatch it because we were kind of dozing a little bit towards the end of the last one. Evan, is it Evan Reynolds is his last name?
I don't know.
I can't remember his last name, but the actor that plays Dahmer, in my opinion, spot on.
I mean, it's really good. I mean, I would offer it up in terms of, I forget his name, but the dude who did My Friend Dahmer, who acted in My Friend Dahmer, as a high school student, I felt like his performance is pretty accurate or pretty similar to what this other guy is doing.
Yeah, because this one's more about his adult life, right?
This one is more about his adult life, yeah. And obviously there are, you know, tidbits in there about his school career and stuff like that, but they are two very different ages. Well, they're supposed to be. The thing is, where the movie in My Friend Dahmer ends, which is him picking up Stephen Hicks, is shown also in the series, which you may have seen already, unless that was the episode that you fell asleep in. But you know, he picks up Stephen Hicks, so he's playing that same age at points as well. He's not too much older. I don't really know like how long Dahmer was killing for. I don't remember.
It was, I believe, a couple of years, a few years.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, this show's obviously very different. My Friend Dahmer was about him becoming the killer, whereas this one is more about his ultimately being caught, arrested, and now going and through the trial. And he's just kind of having flashbacks or giving us flashbacks as to what the rest of his life was like.
Right. All right. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap up our kickoff episode to the spooky season?
No, I don't think so. I think that's it for right now.
All right. All right, folks. That is all we got for this week for our spooky season kickoff episode / down the rabbit hole or rabbit hole episode. Make sure you're checking out all of the great stuff on killerpodcast.com, Evergreen Podcasts. Make sure you check out paratruth.com, of course. We've mentioned it multiple times, but you can leave a voice message for us there. You can just message us on the website or email us at paratruthradio@gmail.com. We're on all the socials. So if you Google Paratruth Radio, you're more than likely going to find us. Like we mentioned earlier, we are planning on getting a mini-series released for this month as well, full of spooky stories. So, with all that being said, until next week, folks, where you'll find us same time, same channel. My name is Justin.
And I'm Eric. Peace.
Bonjour, this is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Enchanté. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.